Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. Brothers and sisters, before we begin, as we always do, we got to mention our brothers and sisters in Gaza. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring about peace to them and relieve them from the atrocities and the oppression they are in. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala block the work and the path of the enemy, the Israeli enemy, and the Zionist plots. Ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring this ummah together. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive our shortcomings. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala correct and change the minds and hearts of people who are cowards, not brave. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala change the state of this ummah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reconcile and guide the affairs of its leaders that are in power, and give them guidance to wake up. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on the martyrs. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make them among the martyrs and have their children awaiting for them in paradise. Also, we need to make dua for our brothers and sisters in Afghanistan. For those of you who don't know, in the past 2 days, they had two earthquakes in which 1,500 people died, rahmatullahi alayhim, all Muslims and children, of course, and about 3,000 injured. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on their souls, protect them, and compensate them for their losses. Please donate towards our brothers and sisters in Gaza, brothers and sisters, and towards our brothers and sisters in Afghanistan through the trusted charity organizations that you know. And don't forget them in your dua. Ameen. Tonight's topic, we entitled it, All Eyes on Me. So it's just a catchy title to mean the topic showing off. I'm sorry if the title is a bit cringy to some of you. So inshallah, if it's cringy, we'll probably change it, up to you. But even if you don't like it, tough luck, we'll stick with the topic, All Eyes on Me. Now, All Eyes on Me is the type of feeling that a person likes to feel when the shaitan creeps into them to show off. And my brothers and sisters, I chose this topic because it's quite important and concerning that a person can actually lose the rewards of their good deeds if they don't monitor the intentions in the heart. But also, I want to talk about the difference between what is showing off itself, what are its categories. I also want to talk about what we can do about it, why people show off, so we can understand. We want to look at showing off in the religion versus showing off in materialism, materialistic things. There's a difference between the two. And I want to also look at what is considered, what people consider is showing off, but it's not showing off. So we want to correct some of the misconceptions that not everything is considered showing off. And we want to talk about what happens when you feel like your intentions are not right and your mind plays tricks on you. We want to look at, inshallah, at those who judge other people and point their fingers at them and accuse them of showing off because of some things they've seen them do. So a Muslim should not judge a person's intentions. And I think it's a good time to talk about this topic, because this topic becomes important as well when there's frustration among people. It's really an emotional topic. It's a topic of emotions, sorry, not an emotional topic, but a topic about the emotions. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding and guide us to the straight path. I begin by explaining what is showing off. My brothers and sisters, from the Islamic teachings, there are two types of showing off. There is the showing off of our religious acts, and the second type is showing off of our material things. Religious acts that people can show off in are acts of worship, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us, such as our five daily prayers, donating charity, sadaqah, zakat, hajj, fasting, our appearance as Muslims. When we do any kind of good deed, that it's meant to be a religious act pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It includes any practice of the sunnah, of the practices of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which he told us to do and recommended. It also includes our righteousness that we do within our family, outside of our family, in front of our friends, in the mosque, at work, everywhere around the world. And I also want to touch on the issue of hijab. Sisters who wear the hijab, sometimes they are afraid of their intentions. They want to do the right thing. It's something that a lot of brothers don't get. They don't understand that when they say, I want to do it for me, what they mean is that they want to do it sincerely and honestly, because they're afraid of doing it for people and then losing out the reward. And many examples of religious acts which are called showing off religious acts. We want to talk about that. And inshallah, also showing off material things. And they are anything that doesn't have to do with religious injunctions, religious practices. Like the way you dress nicely, you like to dress nicely, you like to look good, you like to have a nice car, you're happy about your achievements, you get some qualification, you want to celebrate. Is that considered showing off? Showing off in our appearance, stuff we do on social media, what is considered showing off in materialism. All these are two separate types of showing off, and each one has a different Islamic teaching and a different ruling. So let us, inshallah, learn them well. And by learning definitions and understanding what things mean, help us along the way to be aware of ourselves and to clean ourselves up and to develop our character. Tonight is a talk about the character of the heart, because showing off is not an act in the limbs, although people see it outside. Really, whatever you do depends on what your heart's intention is. That's where showing off really comes from in Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not judge us on our outside actions, except by the intentions that we did those actions because of. And also, he looks at the correctness of actions when it comes to halal and haram and acts of worship. So let's quickly go through the verses and hadiths about showing off, and then inshallah we'll talk about the difference and the cure, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in surah number 8, verse 47, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ خَرَجُوا مِن دِيَارِهِمْ بَطَرًا وَرِئَاءَ النَّاسِ وَيَصُدُّونَ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ بِمَا يَعْمَلُونَ مُحِيطٌ. Allah says, and be not like those who came forth from their homes exulting with a desire to be seen of men, to show off, and hindering others from the way of Allah. Allah encompasses all that they do. These were people who existed at the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Among them were hypocrites, and the hypocrites are people who used to hide their disbelief inside, and they used to show on the outside as if they were Muslims. So they prayed like everyone else, they fasted like everyone else, they give sadaqah, all that stuff. But the only time they did that good work was only when people could see them. Why? Because they were in fact spies, and they were working for the enemies, the disbelievers of Mecca, and they were bringing news to them. So they were actual disbelievers, but they hid it. And those are called al-munafiqun, the real hypocrites. This day and age, we use the word hypocrite, we throw it around at everybody, and this is a major sin, when we just throw around the word hypocrite at people based on a few words or actions they did, or maybe a post that they put up. It could be that maybe someone, you know, is happy about something and then we say they're hypocrites. Sometimes spouses call each other hypocrites because they see their husband or their wife one way at home and then outside they say, you're such a hypocrite, you don't act the same way. This word hypocrite, brothers and sisters, is a big problem nowadays. People throw it around. And the word hypocrite means that somebody is a disbeliever on the inside. On the outside, they're showing the opposite of what the inside is. You can't call people hypocrites like that because we can't read the hearts. Okay, some people, they may act a certain way in front of some people and they act another way in front of other people. The act looks hypocritical and maybe the people are doing it out of hypocrisy, but we don't call the person a hypocrite because you know why? Every single one of us will falter this way. There is no one who's perfect. You know, in front of your spouse, you're one thing. In front of other people, you are going to be another thing. That's normal, isn't it? Because when you're together at home, you're going to see the ins and outs, you're going to see the ups and downs, you're going to see the good and the bad of each other. You're a human being, you're not perfect. So it's so unfair and unjust to call each other hypocrites just because, you know somebody on a closer level and because they act, you know, better in public or something. You don't call them hypocrites automatically. This word, you know, especially I hear children calling their parents hypocrites, subhanAllah, because, you know, they might say, you know, don't do this and then they do it themselves. It doesn't mean they're hypocrites. It is a wrong act. It can be a sinful act. But to label someone as a hypocrite, that's a major sin, brothers and sisters, because you're actually, in fact, you're claiming that you know what's inside that person's hearts and intentions. Islam teaches us to judge the act that is on the outside, not the person who's doing the act. Right? I remember a true story. This actually happened once with me, and another sheikh also speaks about it, where there was, he saw a man who looked religious inside of his car, and he's driving, and the music was pumping like techno music, hard metal, the real stuff, and an F and an S and a this and a that, the whole swear words, everything, the whole nine yards. And then he went and was filling up petrol, and the sheikh came past and he said, "Ya akhi, you've got all this terrible, you know, this really bad lyrics and everything." The guy ended up being deaf, he couldn't hear. He's hearing impaired. He goes, "Astaghfirullah, I didn't know it." And he's, you know, talking like that. Can you imagine that? I mean, this is an obvious thing, but imagine he didn't know he was deaf. And they'll say, "Oh yeah, I see, sheikhs, they're hypocrites." That's what they're going to say, right? So brothers and sisters, be very careful with that word. And there are so many different examples. So calling someone a hypocrite is a huge thing. Calling someone a kafir is a huge thing. Calling someone an innovator, a deviant is a huge thing, right? We look at the act itself and say that act is an act of deviation. That act is an act of hypocrisy, but the person themselves is another story. That requires a lot of, you know, you can't just judge a person like that. So brothers and sisters, those were the hypocrites. They came out, they would just do things that are good when people were watching them, obviously because they're spies. They're trying to trick people. That is called the big hypocrisy, and nifaq al-akbar, the big nifaq, big hypocrisy. And then there is minor hypocrisy, and that's when people act in a certain way and they don't really act, or they don't act the way they speak, or they speak different to what they act. We don't call them hypocrites, but they do acts that are contradictory, sometimes acts of hypocrisy, but they're not hypocrites themselves. So please be careful, brothers and sisters, otherwise everyone's going to be a hypocrite. There is no one among us who will not be a hypocrite if this is the definition that we want to go by and this judgment. And everybody will hate everyone else, nobody will trust anyone, nobody will even last in marriage or even as a parent or a child, because that's what the shaitan wants. So brothers and sisters, have ease on each other. I'll give you just a quick example of what I just said. In the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know the companion named Nu'ayman, I've said this a few times. He used to be an alcoholic and he was still addicted to alcohol before he became a Muslim. And then after he became a Muslim, he did everything in Islam, everything, except alcohol. He couldn't leave it. And when he used to go to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he'd want him to punish him for it so he can feel, you know, that it's gone, the sin is gone. So he would, the Prophet, peace be upon him, would ask the people around them to just, you know, just sort of lightly hit him with whatever clothes they had. Some people would hit him with a shoe. Obviously, it wouldn't hurt him. It's not going to do anything to him. But it's more of a humiliation that, look, we want you to really stop it. And the guy came out in open anyway. So he used to accept that and like it, right? That he got the punishment, and that way he can get forgiven and start again. But that was more like what we call in psychology cognitive dissonance, where he knows he's doing the bad, but he can't leave it, so he wants to justify it in some way. This is not hypocrisy, but one companion stood up and he said, look at this guy, implying hypocrisy. He says he doesn't have any shame coming to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he, you know, basically in brackets, everybody understood what he's saying, that he declares to be a Muslim, yet look at him. Not even shy in front of the Messenger of Allah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stopped him immediately and said, please don't say that about your brother. And do not assist the shaitan against your brother. Because this is the shaitan's work. And what you're doing is, you're getting this guy to feel so guilty, so he never comes back again, and he has no hope whatsoever. And the shaitan's already probably whispering to that person, telling him, you're a loser, you're a deadbeat, you're a whatever, you're everything. And just, he isolates himself and just continues and probably goes into really worse things. And then he said to him, I know wallahi that he loves Allah and his messenger. Love as in he really is trying his best, and he doesn't mean it to disrespect the messenger of Allah or disrespect religion. Later on, he, alhamdulillah, Allah helped him to stop the wine and alcohol. This is just a very quick example, brothers and sisters, of not jumping to conclusions at judging people and calling them hypocrites. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentions in the Quran riya in several other verses. I'll just quickly enumerate them. In a verse that we all have memorized, Surah Al-Ma'un, أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ فَذَلِكَ الَّذِي يَدُعُ الْيَتِيمِ, that surah. So as you read on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ يُرَاءُونَ وَيَمْنَعُونَ الْمَاعُونَ, those who just do good deeds only when they are seen. They just do it to show off. Otherwise they won't do it. وَيَمْنَعُونَ الْمَاعُونَ, and they prevent their charity and their good deeds to others. So there's a combination between a person who loves to show off their good deeds and being stingy and greedy. Usually people who just want to show off, often, not all the time, but often, according to this verse of the Quran, they are very prone to also be greedy and stingy. It makes sense. If a person just wants to show off, then it's all about them. It's all about, as I said before, why I named it the title, All Eyes on Me. It's about himself or herself. And that's a trait of narcissism. But again, you know how we don't call people narcissists? That's a word that a lot of people throw around as well. You have to be diagnosed by a professional, and there's lots of big criteria to call someone a narcissist. But it's a trait of narcissism. And again, every single one of us may every now and then do something not realizing it's a trait of narcissism. Otherwise, everybody's a narcissist if you're just going to throw that word around. And narcissism in the Quran, it has a meaning in the Quran which is huge. Iblis, the shaitan, was a narcissist. And that is that narcissism in the Quran and Islam means somebody who always rejects any truth that comes to them. They don't care. It's only their way or the highway, and they'll reject any truth that comes to them and gaslight you with it. And also they condescending to other people, they're full of contempt, which means it's an emotion that they always feel they're superior to others, putting every person down below them in every way, shape or form. So this is a huge word to say to someone. It's as bad as saying hypocrite, because this is called kibr. Kibir. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, person with pride and arrogance, like who's fully blown narcissist knowingly, will not enter paradise in the beginning when Allah tells people to enter paradise. If they're believers and they're going to enter paradise, they don't enter paradise, they're going to be punished. So to call someone a hypocrite or a person full of pride and arrogance is a huge deal, brothers and sisters, and it may turn back and backfire on you and you'll be judged with it. So brothers and sisters, these people have this trait anyway. And I'm not talking about others, I'm talking about myself, and you should take this lesson for yourself. Tonight is about yourself. Don't think about so-and-so and so-and-so. Yeah, so-and-so should be here. You know, the shaitan comes and says, so-and-so should be here in this class. Yeah, if so-and-so was here, this will really benefit them. No, brothers and sisters. Change that mentality. A believer's always analyzing themselves. Now, analyze yourself with mercy and with compassion and empathy. Don't be too hard on yourself. And this is what we're talking about here tonight. I don't want you to feel that you are a show-off and your deeds are destroyed. No. We are not here to do that. But I have to start this way anyway. And then, inshallah, let's take it easy on ourselves and do our best to improve, inshallah ta'ala. But the first place it starts is when you judge yourself, when you analyze yourself. Don't throw it to others. Don't say others need it. No, I need it first. Because on the day of judgment, Allah will judge me first. He will not judge my children or my family or my friends or the imam at the mosque or my sheikhs or anybody. He will judge you by yourself. وَكُلُّهُمْ آتِيهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَرْدًا. All of them will come, will arise, will be raised to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of resurrection, فَرْدًا, individually. وَلَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى. Allah says in the Quran, it's the Islamic teachings, the core teachings, that no soul carries the sin of another soul. We don't believe that people inherit sins or carry the sins of other people. Unless you taught that person to do that sin, then you also share that sin. But we don't carry the sins of other people at all. Everyone's judged by themselves. So an intelligent, smart person will look at themselves and say, how can I improve? As for everyone else, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide them. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes some traits of people who show off. The way he describes the traits of people who show off their good deeds, he uses the example of the hypocrites that I talked about, the ones who existed at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, who were spies, who were actually disbelievers. Allah says, for example, in the Quran, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَهُوَ خَادِعُهُمْ وَإِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا كُسَالًا وَإِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا كُسَالَى يُرَاءُونَ النَّاسَ وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا مذبذبين بين ذلك لا إله هؤلاء ولا إله هؤلاء وَمَنْ يُضْلِلِ اللَّهُ فَلَنْ تَجِدَ لَهُ سَبِيلًا. These verses encompass the meaning. It says, the true hypocrites, meaning referring to the full-blown hypocrites at the time of the Prophet, peace be upon him, to warn us not to have their trait. What does Allah say in their characteristic? The true and full-blown hypocrites, they try to deceive Allah. They try to play games of deception and trickery with Allah. Remember in psychology, I told you the word for that is cognitive dissonance, meaning that I believe something, but I don't want to do it. So I start playing tricks and wrestling with myself to justify so I can do it and not feel guilty about it. So Allah says the hypocrites play this game with Allah. They try to play around God as if he can't see them. وَهُوَ خَادِعُهُمْ. If they want to play this trick with Allah, Allah will beat them in their trickery games. He will turn it on them. And that's some people, they use this verse to try and say, God is a deceiver. أَسْتَغْفِرُ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ. God is a deceiver. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is exalted from deception. But what Allah is saying is, if these hypocrites want to try and play the game of deception with Allah, he will turn their deception against them, and he will win in that trickery of theirs. He'll turn it back on them. وَإِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَىٰ. And when they get up to pray, قَامُوا كُسَالَىٰ. You see them, they get up with laziness. They don't want to pray. So they get up with laziness, like deliberate laziness. Not, don't, please don't confuse it with a natural laziness that a person feels when they get up from bed, because naturally you feel lazy, correct? No, that's, you're okay that way. That's just a natural feeling. What you do is you fight it. You say, I'm gonna get up. And then suddenly, mashallah, within a few minutes, you're awake. And you conquer that laziness. No, what Allah is saying is the opposite. He's saying they get up with deliberate laziness. Why? Because they don't even believe in prayer. Why would they get up? They get up like that only because people are watching them and expecting them to be at the mosque. So these hypocrites would do that, right? قَامُوا كُسَالَ. What else do they do? يُرَاءُونَ النَّاسِ. The only reason they do their good deeds is in order to show off in front of people, to make them believe a different reality. Why? Because they're spying. I look like a Muslim so I can get information out of you, right? يُرَاءُونَ النَّاسِ. And what is another characteristic? وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. You'll find that they will not mention and remember Allah in their day except very minimally. Only when you see them, we see them, it's like this, right? They're probably looking around, hating everybody, and suddenly when you look at them, they'll go, SubhanAllah, 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 SubhanAllah. You know, they'll look around, who's watching me? وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. They don't remember Allah except very little. They don't read the Qur'an much. They don't say subhanAllah much. They don't say la ilaha illallah much. They don't recite anything that Allah loves much. Very little, only when you see them. وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. مُذَبْذَبِينَ. They're like flies. They are two-faced. They act la ilaha ula. They are neither on that person's side, وَلَا إِلَهَا أُولَىٰ, nor on that person's side. Meaning that when they see you, they act like they're your friend, but they're actually your enemy. And when they go to your enemy, they act like they're their enemy, and they think that you are the other person's. They act like they're their friend, and they think that, to make them think that they are the enemies of your enemy. But really, they are neither. They're enemies of both. So this is the characteristics and traits of a full-blown show-off in their good deeds and a hypocrite. وَمَا يُضْلِلِ اللَّهُ فَلَنْ تَجِدَ لَهُ سَبِيلًا. Allah says, but whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leaves to them is guidance, you will not find any path that they take that will guide them back if they continue wanting to stay on their lost hood. So brothers and sisters, and finally one authentic hadith which is in Sahih Muslim, that on the day of judgment, the first three people who will be judged by Allah will be three believers. Believers from the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they are a false scholar, number two, a false charity giver, and number three, a false martyr, a false shaheed, a false giver, donator, mutasaddiq, and a false alim or qari, a false scholar or reciter. He will be said to the false scholar or reciter, what did you do with the blessing of knowledge I gave you? Allah will say. And he will say, or she will say, I used it to teach and to practice in the way that pleases you, my Lord. And Allah will say to him, you are lying, and the angels will say, you are lying, and Allah will say, you only did it so that people can call you a knowledgeable man or a knowledgeable woman, and that's why you did it, and that's all the reason why you did it, and you have received it. The second one, who is the charity giver, what did you do with the wealth that I gave you? And he says, all the wealth that you gave me, the richness, I used it in the path that pleases you, O Allah. And he'll say, you are lying. The angels say, you are lying. You only gave it so that people can call you a generous man or woman. You only did it for your reputation and you've received it. The third person, who was a false martyr, what did you do with the strength and body and skills that I gave you? And he says, I fought in the way that pleases you, my Lord, and I died on the path that pleases you, my Lord, defending the Muslim Ummah, defending the rights of Islam. And Allah will say, you are lying. And the angels will say, you are lying. You only fought so that people can call you a chivalrous warrior, and you can, build monuments or whatever out of you, and you have received it. And then there are three of them are placed into the fire to be punished for what they did. Brothers and sisters, these are people who used Allah's religion for their own personal benefit. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not make us among them. Moving on now, brothers and sisters, okay, we understand how bad it is. And our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, one thing I fear upon you more than the Dajjal himself, the Dajjal, the false Messiah, is riya. Or he said, the hidden shirk. Ash-shirk al-asghar. The hidden shirk. قَالُوا وَمَا الشِّرْكُ الْأَصْغَرِ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. They said, what is hidden shirk, O Messenger of Allah? He said, it is when a person does a good deed to please people and not Allah. He gets up to pray, notices people are watching him or her, and then he beautifies his salah only for the people. In another hadith, he said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, be careful of the hidden shirk, which is showing off your good deeds, for it is more inconspicuous than an ant crawling on a black rock in the night. It's pretty heavy stuff. You know, a lot of people who got religious, I know a lot of scholars and mashayikh in my time who used to always struggle with this. Anyone who wants to get religious, among the first things they struggle with in the beginning is this. Am I doing my work for the sake of Allah? Are my good deeds acceptable? Am I doing it for the right reason? I want to answer that for you, brothers and sisters. If you are one of them, and you're always questioning yourself, am I showing off my good deeds? Am I not? Am I you know, doing the right thing or not? The fact that you're asking yourself that question, and the fact that you fear showing off your good deeds, is a 100% sign that you are not showing off at all. The person who actually shows off their good deeds are the people who deliberately intend to do so. It requires an effort. It requires a plan. You deliberately intend to do so. It is impossible to have the intention of showing off your good deeds to people instead of Allah without an active inner intention that is deliberate. Riya is not forced on you. The showing off is not forced on you. It's impossible. It's not forced on anybody. You create it. And that's how you know the difference, brothers and sisters. So if you're praying, for example, and you're praying okay, and then other people walk in and they're watching you, and suddenly you find yourself behaving in your prayer even better, it does not necessarily mean that you are doing showing off in front of them. It could be that the fact that they walked in made you more self-conscious, to be alert. So not all of these actions means that you are showing off. If it's a normal reaction, it's not showing off. But if you go in, you're praying, for example, let's say in the mosque, or you're praying, let's say, in a prayer room, a cultural room, they call it in the supermarkets or the mall or something, you go in and other Muslims walk in to join you, and suddenly, you know, you beautify your prayer, that comes down to your intention. If you went in and you're praying without any intention of caring about your salah, and then people walked in, and then you actively wanted to look righteous in front of them so that afterwards they will praise you, compliment you, and you have a good reputation, that's an active intention. That's a plan. That's when it becomes showing off. Not the person who just, their mind whispers to them. The fact that you're afraid of it, the fact that you always question it, means that you are not of a person showing off. And inshallah, you should ignore it. Because the shaitan loves to make you doubt yourself. One of the du'as that my teachers taught me when I was young, it's attributed to Ali radiallahu anhu, but we don't know who actually said it, but the meaning is beautiful. Is when you feel that people compliment you and you feel that maybe you're showing off, in case, just when you're not praying, of course, and you can talk, you say, Allahumma la tu'akhidhni bima yaqulun. Oh Allah, do not hold me accountable for the praises and compliments they're giving me. وَأَسْتَغْفِرُكَ مِمَّا لَا يَعْلَمُونَ And I seek your pardon from the secret sins that I have, which they do not know about. See how you're reminding yourself? وَجْعَلْنِي خَيْرًا مِمَّا يَظُنُّونَ My Lord, make me even better than what they assume of me. They say, MashaAllah, you are like this and that. Say, oh Allah, don't hold me accountable. Forgive me for what they don't know about me and make me even better than what they're complimenting me with. Beautiful dua. Wallahi, one of the best. Brothers and sisters, why do people like to show off? Why? Why does Islam discourage and warn against it? Well, people show off to gain attention, to impress others, and boost their own self-esteem. But these behaviors often stem from underlying insecurities and a desire for validation and social status. And showing off can be a way to mask feelings of insecurities or feelings of inadequacies and gain a temporary sense of importance and even achieve a temporary euphoria from the feeling of elevated social standing. So the issues that are making people show off constantly insecurities and low self-esteem that could be in that person. You've got to address that. Or it could be a desire for attention and validation. Again, you've got to address that. Why would you want that? Number three, seeking social status and attractiveness. You've got to say why you need that. Compensation for lack of fulfillment. It could be something within the way you were raised. It could be a habit and an addiction, which turns it into a vicious cycle. You see other people showing off, so you think, I'm missing out. I need to also show off, otherwise I'm not going to get to that status. I've got to move up in life. Which can increase your own insecurities, leading you to show off more, to gain reassurance. And this cycle can make individuals feel like they are never enough, as they are constantly striving for external validation rather than finding contentment within yourself. My brothers and sisters, one way to overcome that is to always remember that nobody can harm you or benefit you except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, number one. Nobody can harm you or benefit you except who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, number one. So keep your trust in Him. Number two, people who look at you and are impressed by what you've got are one of three people. Number one, they're the jealous type who don't want any good for you. So you probably create an enemy out of them who has it in for you secretly. Number two is an innocent, honest friend who only wants best for you. And you don't need to show off in front of them. Or number three, they just don't care. So at the end of the day, you can do it for yourself. Like if you want to have a nice car, you want to have a nice clothing, you want to look good, do it for the sake of beautification, because you like to look nice, because of, you know, halal beautification within measures, of course. Do it because, you know, you feel alive, you feel ready. And there's nothing wrong with a bit of attractiveness. You know, we do dress in order to look good in front of people. There's a uniform, though, and sometimes there is, there's performative things that we do that are not necessarily showing off. I'll give you an example from the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so you can feel better about yourselves as Muslims. The hadith is in Sahih Muslim, and the Prophet, peace be upon him, once said, "No one on the referring to the hereafter, the day of judgment, on that day, whoever has a grain's size of pride and arrogance will not initially enter paradise with those who initially enter." So until they're judged and dealt with. Then one man said, "Ya Rasulallah, O Messenger of Allah, what if a person likes to wear nice clothing that looks attractive in front of other people and likes to wear nice shoes, for example, that look good? You know, if you can add to that, you like to have a nice house, nice mobile phone, a nice car, you know, whatever it is." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied and explained. He said, no. Allah is beautiful and He loves beauty. Allah is beautiful and He loves beauty. He loves to see His blessings on you. And when you're happy with the blessings Allah gave you and you come out with them and you show your gratitude. He said, "What I'm talking about, pride and arrogance, is batar al-haq wa ghamt al-nas. It is an arrogant way of rejecting all truth because you feel that you're above the truth. What truth? The truth, first of all, that Allah has revealed. You're above the Quran, you're above the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And generally speaking, he's a person who is above any truth. He's above all advice. He's above all guidance. He or she is above anyone who they don't like, no matter what truth it is." That's arrogance and pride. Wa ghamtun nas, also it's combined with a superiority complex. In other words, contempt. Contempt. And contempt for other people is a powerful emotion, which the Prophet's referring to, marked by intense dislike, disgust, and a feeling of superiority, leading to disrespect and the belief that others are inferior, unworthy, or flawed in character or moral standards below you. And this emotion combines social disgust with disrespect, making a person feel temporarily self-righteous, but less humane. That's called ghamtun nas. That's exactly what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was describing. That type of a person who has that habit as a character in their life will not enter paradise if they've got even a grain's worth of that left in them. What does a grain's worth left in them? It means they did not repent, they did not change. They died while still holding on to arrogance, pride, and contempt. Of course, there are people who are disgusting. They're the people who do filthy things out in open and don't care. Seeing them as disgusting or below moral standards is not contempt. Because people who do disgusting, foul crime, they murder, they rape, they do all these things, these are not people who deserve to be looked at as people of moral standards. Because then we'll be encouraging immorality. But as a person, as a Muslim, you want to help them. You make dua for them. Because you yourself, you may one day, God forbid, do bad things yourself. So the act that the person is doing is immoral. And a person can be of immoral standards. But we make dua for them. We ask Allah to guide them. We put our boundaries. And some people have to be shunned away if they turn into evil. But in general, a Muslim doesn't have contempt. My brothers and sisters, let me move on with something else. We said that there's showing off in religion, showing off material things. Showing off in religion is a form of minor shirk. And it also can be major shirk. What is shirk? Shirk is when you make partners alongside God. So shirk, making partners alongside God, can be done in many ways. One of the ways is this, showing off your good deeds. So any act of worship is meant to be done solely and purely for who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we do our 5 daily prayers, who's it supposed to be to? Towards Allah. Pleasing Allah, isn't that correct? So when is it a major shirk and when is it a minor shirk? A major shirk is when I deliberately inside of me intend and only intend to worship, to look good in front of people, and I do not have God in my heart at all. I do not have the intention of pleasing Allah, which basically means you're a disbeliever who is acting like you're a believer. And I don't think any Muslim, alhamdulillah, here or anywhere in the world, who says La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah and believes in Allah's Quran and Sunnah will ever be that type. So you have to be a disbeliever. However, there can be a lot of Muslims who may mix the two. For example, I may pray, and then as I'm praying, I may... maybe a little bit of showing off creeps into me. As I'm reciting Quran, I may feel people are looking at me. They might say, Allah. And then I may get affected by that and say, yes, I'm moving their emotions. I'll go even higher. And sometimes my intention may change during my action. Maybe I might be a person who doesn't normally pray. And then I get up and I pray just to shut people up and just look good. But I also believe in prayer that I should be praying. So it's kind of a mix. Okay, look, I'll pray. It's a good prayer. I already believe in it. I'm just a lazy person, but I'll just do it at this time because just to please the people. That's mixed intentions. These mixed intentions can happen in two places. Number one, before you do the good deed, you intend mixed intentions. And number two, while you're doing the good deed. But they cannot be after you've finished the good deed. So for example, let's say I'm in a charity event and we're all giving donations. And I look around and say, you know what, I'm hyped up. My friend gave charity, that person gave charity, I've got a business. And then I see a business, in the name of this business they gave charity, which is fine, that's okay. And then I might find my intentions contaminated. And then I say, you know what, this is good for my business. I'll grow my reputation by looking like a generous person. But you know, it's a good cause and I do believe in Allah and I do want Allah to reward me, but also I want to hit two birds with one stone. So I go and donate with the intention of pleasing Allah, but also with the intention of growing my reputation for my business. How do I know the difference between that? It's my intention. And only I know that. You can't judge me with that. I know that. So sometimes it can be mixed. Okay, what happens to a person whose intentions become mixed? The scholars have already answered that unanimously. They said, the part of your intention that was for Allah is rewarded for. The part of it which is for the people is gone. So your rewards are diminished and part of it is disqualified, part of it is accepted. Who decides that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So our aim is to recollect ourselves and say, Astaghfirullah al-Azim. And there is a beautiful dua that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He said, Ya Abu Bakr, can I teach you some words that will save you from ever having this type of, you know, intention creeping into you where it's mixed? He said, Yes, Ya Rasulullah. He said, say the following dua. It'll get rid of the small and the big of any showing off. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika an ushrika bika wa ana a'lam wa astaghfiruka lima la a'lam. O Allah, I seek refuge in you from making partners with you in any matter while knowing. And I ask you to forgive me from doing so in any matter that I didn't have knowledge of. That is the beautiful dua to remind yourself with. So in that case, brothers and sisters, the part of it that was pure is accepted, the part of it is impure is gone. Moving on, I want to count five ways where people think it's showing off good deeds when it is not. The first one, make them six. The first one, showing off material things, your car, your house, your watch, your muscles, your reputation, whatever that has nothing to do with religion. That is not shirk. Showing off material things is not making partners with Allah. But it's sinful because it can cause you to become corrupt inside, and also it'll destroy your own self-esteem. Remember what I told you about showing off, why people show off. So Islam doesn't want you to become weak on the inside, and showing off actually makes you weaker because then you're depending on people's validations, and then you'll get angry when people don't mention you and compliment you. If you want to test yourself out on social media, for example, some people put a comment and they're very quick to it. Their intention is to try and get likes. Their intention is to try and get the attention of other people. That's it, really. And they don't care what they're saying, right or wrong. And if you get angry or you get upset or you feel betrayed that nobody complimented your work or noticed it, then you've got to check yourself. Are you really doing it to show off? Are you really doing it because you really intend well? So these are very important. So number one, if you are showing off material things, it is not considered riya. It's not shirk. It's not making partners with Allah. But it is sinful in the sense that you are showing off good deeds. How do you get rid of that? Number one, what I told you before. Only Allah can benefit and harm you. Number two, people are of three types. Either they're jealous of you, so they'll hurt you. Or they're friends of yours, where they're just happy for you. Or number three, they don't care. Number four, remember the blessings Allah has given you already and which Allah has not given others. There are hidden blessings that you have that others haven't had. And I want you to remember that, you know, showing off means that you want to feel adequate. So remember that everybody has issues and problems in their lives. Everybody has something that they're dealing with. So the better way to do it is, this is what something my father taught me when I was younger. He says, Dad, whatever you feel that you need to show off, remember why you need to show off. Usually it's you want validation from people. And remember that people cannot benefit you or harm you. And sometimes you may see other people who've got more than you, so then you want the same, so you start showing off so that you can appear like them. And he told me one of the best ways to take care of it is make dua for the people you're jealous of. Make dua for the people that you'd like to be like, but you can't be. So if I see that you got something more than me, I make dua for you in secret, not to your face. I say, oh Allah, bless him and bless her and what you have given them. And you'll find that According to the hadith, the angel is there to make the same dua for you. He says, oh Allah, give him the same, because you're making dua for your brother and sister. So one way is to wish good for the other person, it will help you. Okay, number two. Here are the religious ways that people think is showing off in religion, but they're not showing off. Number one, if you want to prove your competence to someone or an organization or a group, your competence, if by talking yourself up, you are proving your competence for a position that you're applying for, like a job position, or for some kind of responsibility that you know you're going to be good at and you're going to benefit others by taking that position, or for a job, for example, that you would like to work in and you know that you have the skills for it and you would like to learn more and it requires you to convince others that you are good in that way and you have to talk about some of your merits, then that is completely permissible. And in some cases, you are rewarded for doing that. I'll give you an example from the Quran about Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam. Remember when he said to the king, اجعلني على خزائن الأرض إني حفيظ عليم. Make me the treasurer, or make me the one in charge of all the treasures of Egypt, the financial, the person, the minister of economy, for example, in modern terms. إني حفيظ عليم. I am trustworthy and I am full of knowledge in how to manage the affairs of money and economy. So that's a praise. He's praising himself. He's mentioning two merits about himself. And he's competing with others to take that position. But why? Because Yusuf alayhi salam knew very well that if he put him in that position, he will be governing well with justice and fairness. And he has more knowledge than others in doing so. So he told the king, do that. In that way, he got rewarded for it. So once again, the first way, to prove your competence when you know there is a benefit to others. Another example is in marriage. You know, when you propose to someone and you have to mention your merits, that's fine. You know, I, for example, you might know Quran. You say, Alhamdulillah, I memorized Quran when I was, 13 years old. Now that's praising yourself, but that's not showing off. You're proving to the person you're marrying that you have that ability, Alhamdulillah, which will attract them if that's what they're looking for. You might talk about other skills that you have. In this case, it's halal. Or let's say if I'm giving a talk to you, right? I'm talking about a particular topic, Islam or any other topic. Maybe I might feel that in order for the people to have confidence in what I'm saying, depending on who I'm talking to, I may feel the need to tell them about my qualification. Okay, I'm coming from a place of qualification. I'm not just talking without expertise and skills and, being tested before. I'm a trained, say for example, I want to talk about theology. I'm a trained theologian. Now that's complimenting yourself, but it's not showing off. It's in the object, the intention, is to make you trust that I'm talking from knowledge and expertise. That is all permissible, inshallah, because your intention is not to show off. Number two, when it is considered not showing off, when others think it is showing off, celebrating or being joyous about your good deeds which you've done. Some people think it's showing off in the deen. Let's say I did a project of opening a charity or a fountain or a bakery store overseas in a poor country. And I got proud of that achievement. I did it for the sake of Allah. And I finished it for the sake of Allah. And I'd like to share this joyous occasion with others. In that case, it's not considered riya, showing off my good deeds. But if my intention is solely planned in order to show off my good deeds, then it is riya. But just being joyous, being happy, that I did something for the sake of Allah and I'd like to share it with others, is not considered riya. Why? Number one, because when you started that good deed, it was for the sake of Allah. When you did that good deed, you've done it for the sake of Allah, and now you've finished. Once you've finished, it can't be riya anymore because it's done. You already finished it. If I want to also share my joyous occasion in order to encourage others, then I get rewarded for talking about my good deed in front of others. If I can see that there is a benefit to encourage others. Another example is that if I go to a charity event and people are not donating, and then I see that someone donated, and then that sort of created a chain reaction where others felt encouraged, then I say, you know what? I'd like to also create a chain reaction. So I say, $1,000. And then others look and it creates an encouragement for others. If that is my intention, you're rewarded for that. That's not showing off. Because Allah says, those who donate, sirran wa alaniya. وَيُنْفِقُونَ مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ سِرًّا وَعَلَانِيَةً. Those who donate from their wealth, in secret and in open. So this shows that in secret there is reward, and also sometimes doing it in open there is a reward. But of course, if there's no need to do it, there's no benefit in doing it in open, Islam is always in favor of you keeping your good deeds what? Secret. As much as you can, keep your deeds secret, unless you see that number one, you need to prove your competence, or it's a joyous occasion, especially if you're encouraging others. One hadith to that is in Ahmad and Tabarani, and it's rated Sahih by Al-Albani, that a man said, asked the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, O Messenger of Allah, what is true faith? And he said, when you do a good deed and it makes you genuinely happy and joyous, then it is true faith. And when you do a bad deed and it makes you upset with yourself, then that is true faith. So being joyous about your good deeds, and even if you need to share it with others to encourage them, is good faith. Number three, the third way that people assume is showing off your good deeds, but it's not, is when you find that when you do a good deed, you receive compliments from others for your good deed. Let's say you give a khutbah, you recited Quran, you delivered a nice lecture, you gave a charity, you helped someone for the sake of Allah, you went to Hajj, whatever you did, right? You put a hijab on, for example, you grew your beard to practice the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then people come up to you and they say, man, that beard rocks, bro. There's nur just shining from your face. That hijab looks beautiful on you. It's not like beautiful as in like beautiful the bad way. It's like beautiful, like it's just this amazing nur coming out of you, right? That khutbah, wallahi, it changed my heart. Someone might come to you and say, you know what, bro, those words you said to me changed my life. I was like this, and may Allah reward you and continue doing it. The way you speak really enters the heart. Your voice in the Quran, mashallah, wallahi, it just enters the heart. When you receive those compliments, some people think, oh no, am I showing off? I feel bad. No, don't feel bad. Don't feel bad at all. In fact, I'll tell you, feel very happy. Feel extremely happy about it. But don't feel arrogant. Like, don't go and say, yeah, shucks, I know. Everyone says my khutbah is good. I know, you should see what else I can do. No. Oh, really? That hijab is really nice on me? Let me, you know, yeah, I am, because I am beautiful, you know, and my hijab just makes me beautiful. You know, other women who wear the hijab, they're not like me. My beard, testosterone is up through the roof for me, mate, because my beard is so full, because I'm tough, mate. I'm a man, see the beard on me. This is arrogance, of course. Well, we don't talk like that. Sorry if I got a little bit cringy with some of you, but that's, you know, that's how people are sometimes. So, we're not like that. But you feel joyous, I'll tell you why. Because the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, الرَّجُلُ يَعْمَلُ الْعَمَلَ لِلَّهِ فَيُحِبُّهُ النَّاسُ عَلَيْهِ ذَلِكَ عَاجِلُ بُشْرَ الْمُؤْمِنِ. In Sahih Muslim number 2642, he said, a man or a person does a good deed, and then people love them for it, or they compliment him or her for it, then know that this is Allah's reward which he has for you in the hereafter. He wanted to give you some of it now as well. He wanted you to have a taste of it. It doesn't mean you're not going to get it in the hereafter. Ajili, and Allah wants you to feel extra excited to motivate you. So if you see praises for good deeds that you're doing and you're not really after it, that wasn't your intention, you're not expecting it, you're not getting upset if they don't give that praise to you, and then it comes to you, know that this is inshallah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number four, mentioning your good deed after it has been done sincerely and honestly. And we said that before, right? After it's finished, mentioning your good deed is not showing off, but of course you got to watch your intention. Number five, being happy when others compliment you for good deeds without you asking for it or saying, wanting people's praise. So I think receiving compliments, being happy about the compliments, mentioning your good deed after you've done it, celebrating, being joyous about it, and proving your competence where it is needed are all, inshallah, not considered riya or actions of showing off your good deeds. My brothers and sisters, my final words are this. We've got to always monitor our ego, and we've got to monitor our intentions. Our heart is the most precious thing. Acts of worship are meant to be done solely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the essence of tawheed, of true monotheism in Islam. And a person who does an act which is meant to be fully for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but then they find that their intentions are mixed, all it means is that you have not done an act which completes the full meaning of tawheed. It doesn't mean you are not a Muslim. It doesn't mean you've gone out of the fold of Islam. It just means the act itself has diminished the reward in the meaning of tawheed. You're still a muwahid, you're still a monotheist. So the act is one thing and who you are is another. Showing off material things is discouraged in Islam because it destroys your self-esteem and who you are, and also it creates a bad character out of that person, and slowly it starts to affect even your faith and your deen as time goes on. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from this inconspicuous, hidden type of minor shirk. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us protected in this world and in the next. We say we've learned the dua of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu now, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught him. You learned the dua that I taught you before. We learned strategies and mental ways of how to fight off the idea of showing off. And I want you to always remember that the only one who can benefit and harm you is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the only one who rewards you is Allah, and the only one who truly you can trust and will always judge you with fairness and mercy is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember, no matter what we do in life, right, no matter what wrong we've done, no matter how big it is, how bad you feel about yourself, Wallahu yaqbalu at-tawbata 'an 'ibadihi. Allah always is ready to accept your repentance. It's very simple to just mean your words to Allah and say, Astaghfirullah al-Azim, O Allah, assist me and help me in being guided in my heart and my actions. So long as you continue to do that, then alhamdulillah, you shouldn't have to worry that you are a person who is showing off your good deeds. May Allah reward you for listening. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept. Hada wa sallallahu nabina Muhammad, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Okay, brother is asking a good question. A lot of people do fall into. How do you know that you're sincere when you are being sincere? How do you know if you're sincere when you're seeking Allah's forgiveness and you start thinking, am I being sincere? So this is a classical case of the shaitan's whispers, waswas. And that's when your mind is playing tricks on you. The fact that you've turned to Allah by yourself, nobody's watching you, nobody knows that you're seeking Allah's forgiveness, is evidence, the first evidence of your sincerity. Because insincerity is when a person sees others watching them or hearing them. Number one. Number two, this is actually called mujahada. What you're going through is mujahada, which means you are wrestling against the evil of yourself, jihad against yourself. And this is a very virtuous thing. Mujahadatu nafs. The fact that you're struggling with yourself and your honesty and whatever is another evidence of your sincerity. Number three, your feeling of guilt. What is the reason that you're asking Allah quietly and secretly where nobody can see you? Obviously, because you believe in Allah and you know that He will judge you, and you're feeling guilt of what you've done. Nobody's going to punish you, nobody's going to give you a fine. But the fact that you believe in Allah and you cannot see Him and you believe in Him and you're feeling guilty is a third sign of your sincerity. Another fourth sign of your sincerity is you dislike the act that you did, and you dislike that person, you, at that time. Sometimes you find yourself, you go, I hate that self. Now the shaitan will come to you and say, yeah, but tonight you're going to do it again. Tomorrow you're going to do it again. That time you're going to do it again. That's the shaitan whispering to you. Say to yourself, if I do it again, I will repent again. Yeah, I will not let you win, ya shaitan. So when you're like that, these are all evidence of your sincerity, inshallah. Now, if you do it again and again and again, repent again and again and again. Because look, you might repent right now, sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not make it alive till the next time you do the sin. You will die with sincerity, inshallah. Because people relapse. They go back to their sins sometimes. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, even if you come to me repenting and you've got a mountain of sins, I will respond to you with forgiveness. So inshallah, I hope that gives you a little guidance. The brother is asking, when I said that mentioning your good deed is good if there is a benefit to it, and if there's no benefit to it, it's better to keep it a secret. But how do you know that this benefit is not, this benefit may not be good right now, but how do you know in the future it may be beneficial? In the future, maybe your intention is, okay, there's no benefit now, but maybe in the future there's benefit. Is that what you mean? Yeah, so it's okay. Your intention is that perhaps if I say it now, in 10 years time there's going to be a benefit. That's fine, that's good. It's amazing. Mahawi, look, when you look at Yusuf alayhi salam, he said, make me in charge of all the treasures and the wealth of this land. What is he actually talking about? He's talking about what's going to happen after 7 years. Actually, after 14 years. Because remember the dream, 7 years of abundance, 7 years of drought, and then finally 1 year of people seeking help and everything, because people would have gotten to dead poverty. And what he said was, I am knowledgeable, I'm wise, I know what I'm doing, I'm trustworthy, because in 14 years time there's going to be a benefit. Even if that benefit didn't happen, what is your intention? So everything comes down, innamal a'malu binniyat. Another example I got this from is, say a mother was actually asking this question. It's a question that came to us. She said, can I mention my good deeds in front of my children to encourage them to copy me as a role model? And the scholar, his name is Ibn Uthaymin, answering this question, he said, Islam is based on benefit and harm, masalih and mafasid. Where there is a maslaha, where there is a benefit, then a Muslim is encouraged to do it. Where there is no benefit or there is a corruption, don't do it. So if your children may look at you as a role model by mentioning your good deed, it's not considered showing off. There is a benefit. Maybe you've got 5 children, 3 of them benefit, 2 of them don't. That's okay. What was your intention? To benefit them. So all of that is fine, alhamdulillah. Good question. If I started an orphanage, charity organization, let's say, a charity project to build an orphanage, and I started showing the work, right? Showing the work to people in order to get donations off them, and then the person, say, didn't give donation. Let's say they didn't give donation, even after I showed them my good work and I went there and showed them the orphans and everything. Is that considered riya? No. Because again, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّةِ. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, actions are by their intention. Your intention was to encourage people to donate. Whether they donate or don't donate, Allah accepts your work. خلاص. Because your intention was to encourage people. Whether they donated or didn't donate is up to them. But Allah doesn't look at the outcome, He looks at your effort, your work. It is not the end goals that we are responsible for, but the road that we are on. Sheikh Al-Albani, one of the great scholars, he said, it is not the outcome that Allah wants you to get, if you get it, alhamdulillah, but the road that you're on. If you're on the right road and you die on it, that's what matters. So, she is on the path of encouraging people to donate. They don't donate, it is not considered showing off, unless she intended to show off. If she went to the orphans and he said, yeah, this is the time for me to shine, everybody said I was a loser, now it's time for them to get the reputation, look at me with the orphanage, but they have no intention of any good except themselves, then yes, that's riya, of course, that is showing off. Otherwise, it's not showing off. I hope that answers the question. Brother is asking also, very good questions tonight, mashallah. Sometimes we want to advise someone, but we're afraid, we're not confident in ourselves that we're going to relay the message with wisdom and goodness. So we get afraid, so sometimes we stop. All right, if you doubt yourself that you're going to push that person away, then do it in another way. Ask someone else who can advise them, right? But even if you do go ahead and you tried and then you did the wrong thing, you found out it didn't work, that's okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still rewards you for your intention, but what you're going to do with that is you're going to learn. You know, let me explain. We've all faltered and we're all going to falter. There is no one who's perfect. We're all going to make mistakes in how we advise someone, right? If I advised you something and I realized that I came across in a harsh way and I've sort of pushed you away, what I would do is go out of my way to come back to you and say, look, brother, the other day I came back in the wrong way. Well, my intention is because I love you and I shouldn't have said it that way. I can fix it, right? Or if you're gone, I can learn from it, and the next time I do it again, I've learned. So there's always good in it, inshallah. As long as your intention is not to show off, not to appear superior to the other person, your intention is not to push them away, your intention is to try your best to show the truth, then inshallah you're okay. But when it's bad is that when I become arrogant. People advise me and say, you know, you pushed that brother away, that wasn't the way, and I say, I don't care, I said the truth. Then now I'm getting arrogant. That's where the problem lies. So I know some brothers who would advise in the harshest way, and then when we came to advise them, they go, well, I didn't intend that. They go back and they say, brother, forgive me, I didn't intend it that way. These people I respect. We all respect them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards them. But when you come back and you say the other, and they say, no, doesn't like the truth, I will never apologize. I have never apologized to anyone and I will never apologize to them. That's arrogance. This is what kibir is. There you are. That's the difference. All right, so brother is asking now a very important question. He says, we live in an age of materialism. And sometimes you might want to buy an item, one with branded brand name, the other one doesn't have a brand name, or one is better than the other, so I choose the brand name or the other one. How do we deal with that? What is showing off? What is good? What is not? First of all, yes, we do live in the age of consumerism and materialism on another level, but it's always been the case in every civilization, actually, just in a different way. Today, because it's in our face, it's the age of consumerism, of technology in very, very high regard. However, again, if I want to buy an item and I'm buying it for me, I like that brand name, and for me, not for the people, then it's okay for me to buy it. I want to buy a car that has the Mercedes sign on it, Mercedes logo, or an Audi logo, instead of another one. I don't want the Hyundai, I don't want Kia, for example. I like the logo, and I can afford it. And afford it means that whatever I spend on it, it will not affect my other responsibilities to anyone else. It won't affect my zakah, it won't affect my sadaqah, it won't affect the people's rights. I can afford it. Now, there's no harm in doing that, so long as it's not for the people. For the people. But sometimes there is a significant, huge difference in price where one is so dramatically expensive, unnecessarily. I don't like mentioning brand names here, but let's, you know, since we're learning, in Australia we do this, it's okay. If I was in Qatar, they won't let me do this, I don't like it. I went there and they said, don't mention brand names. I think in the Emirates, But anyway, I'm going to have to delete that, but we'll listen to, I mean, for good reason, they say, because then you'll promote certain brand names. But here in Australia, for example, let's say, what's that really expensive brand that if you buy even a t-shirt, you can get it from Kmart, but because it's got the logo on there, it's suddenly $2,000, you know. You buy a t-shirt from Kmart, the exact same t-shirt, cotton, for $20. This is called israf, extravagance, and all that money is wasted. In that sense, this is israf. It's discouraged in Islam. If a person has that habit all the time of doing that, then it'll probably be sinful, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. But well, a brand name, no brand name, that doesn't really matter. Sometimes I buy a brand name that's cheaper than the one I get from Target, for example, right? So it's not about the brand name, it's about my intention. And number two, if it is affordable for me where I've got enough, alhamdulillah, and it won't affect my other expenses. So that's it really, inshallah ta'ala. And of course the label or the brand name doesn't represent anything forbidden. All right, brothers and sisters, thank you for listening. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.